to us this morning that you would give us hearts to be receptive, to listen, and that you'll change our attitudes and our thoughts and our desires. And we pray all this that you would be glorified. Amen. Well, we are looking this morning at sending people so they may proclaim Christ. And this passage tells us that salvation is near. Let's all say that together. Salvation is near. Well, that this passage in verse 8, we see that the word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And verse 13, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This passage reminds us that salvation is not something that's distant and far off. It's not something unattainable. It's not something that we cannot grasp. Actually, salvation is so close to us. God has done everything for us that he's actually dropped it in our laps so that all it takes to be saved is to believe in him, to call on him, to do what he has promised to do for all who trust in him. Salvation is near, and it's for who? Who's it for? Everyone, exactly. Verse 13, it's for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord. So, friends, salvation is near. And just a couple of weeks ago, we looked at, when we were looking at reaching people so that they may see Christ. And we looked at 2 Peter 3, as we were reminded of this morning, doing our memory verses. We were reminded what it is that this salvation saves us from, what it is that we need saving from. We were reminded that each person needs to be saved from the day of judgment, from the day when when Christ will return and he will bring destruction and punishment for all those who have rejected him. It's a day that we cannot avoid on our own. It's a day that we need to be saved from. And so this is good news that salvation is near. Actually, salvation is not just near, is it? It's here. Salvation has come with Christ. And so salvation is near. It's near to everybody. But the problem is, and the problem that this passage raises, is that although salvation is near, although salvation is here, many people still miss out because they don't know. Many people still miss out. Now, I guess it's a common thing of life, isn't it, that sometimes things can be very near, they can be very close, they can be under our own noses and we can miss them, can't we? Sometimes things are important, sometimes they're not. If you're a forensic detective, it's important that you don't miss things that are nearby. If you've lost a sock, it's probably less important. But sometimes things can fly under the radar, even if they're really, really close. Now, I wonder if you can think of a time when you've made a discovery of something nearby, something that was really great, but you thought, how did I not discover this earlier? Maybe it was a restaurant, maybe it was a playground hidden away or something else, whatever it was. Maybe you'd walk past it hundreds, thousands of times and never even known it was there. Well, I had one of these just last year. My favourite part of Hornsby is the industrial estates. I love down Salisbury Road and Leighton Place. It's got everything a guy like me could want. If I really need clothes, I can just go down there and buy some King G or some overalls. And, you know, there's Mitchell's Engineering and there's Mr. Plyne. Well, there's everything, everything I could ever need. And I know there are lots of shops down there and I don't know all of them. And so I'm often finding out new businesses and I think, oh, I didn't realise this was here. But one day last year, I was introduced to something very close that I had no idea about. Brian and I went down Salisbury Road and we went to Salisbury Lunchbox. Who's been to Salisbury Lunchbox? Anyone here? One. And Brian. There's three of us in the room. There you go. So anyone who's driven down Salisbury Road, you've driven right past it. You don't know what you're missing. It's a little takeaway shop run by a Korean couple. And it's kind of squished in amongst all the warehouses and factories and workshops. And I would have driven past it at least 100 times, driving up and down there all the time. But it wasn't until Brian told me about it and took me down there for a bulgogi beef burger that I thought, this place is so close, and I didn't know about it. Why didn't someone tell me about it earlier? It's pretty good. And so the truth is, isn't it, that sometimes something can be really close. It can be just there. It can be within our grasp and under our noses, but we can still miss out if we don't know about it, can't we? There are lots of things like that. Maybe it's buried treasure in your backyard, or maybe it's someone who's won the lotto and doesn't even know it. There are lots of things that people miss out on that are close, that are near, that are accessible, but they just don't realise. And so the issue of this passage is that salvation is near, salvation is within our grasp. All we have to do is to call on the name of the Lord and be saved. But so many don't know. Look with me at verse 13. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? See, to be saved, people need to call on the name of the Lord, but there's a whole bunch of things that have to happen to get to that point. A whole bunch of things. And so we can't call on the name of the Lord, we can't call on him to save us if we don't believe that he actually can and will. And we can't believe that he will save us unless we've heard about him. If we don't even know who Jesus is, how can we believe that he will save us? If we don't know that he died for our sins, to pay the punishment for our sins, and that he rose again to new life so that we can have life, how can we believe? And how can we hear that good news unless someone tells it to us? And how can someone tell it to us if they are not sent to us? Which brings us to our point, sent. Sending people so they may proclaim Christ. But what does it mean to be sent? What does being sent mean? Maybe as you look at verse 15, it looks like this has in view something official, an official sending, like a commissioning of a missionary and an appointment to a particular place. Or maybe an official ordination and a posting to a church parish. Maybe that's what you think of when you read verse 15. How can they preach unless they are sent? But the word preach here is probably not the most helpful translation. The word preach is the word that's commonly used as proclaim. It just means to tell, to give the message. And so it's not just talking about this, standing up the front of a group of people called church and speaking in a microphone or at a loud voice. It just means to speak the good news about Jesus. It means to proclaim what he's done and who he is and the salvation that is near. And so verse 15 here is not so much talking about who is able to stand up the front of church and preach. It's not about who should be licensed or ordained or sent as a missionary per se. But what this verse is really talking about is the access that people have to the gospel through other people. It's talking about having access to the good news through people who will speak it. See, the thing is that if someone is not, unless you have some kind of connection with someone, unless you have some kind of access, some kind of communication, well, then you can't share the good news with them, can you? And so if someone has no contact with any Christians, then they can't hear the message, they can't believe, and they can't call on the name of the Lord and be saved. And so how will the gospel go out to Lightning Ridge? How will people come to know Jesus there if no Christian ever goes to Lightning Ridge? How will people come to know Jesus in Africa and Asia and Europe and the Middle East unless Christians go to Africa and Asia and Europe and the Middle East? And how will the children in our schools who are signed up for scripture class for Protestant SRE, how will they hear the good news of Jesus unless Christians go into the schools as teachers and teach them? See, the disciples before Jesus left, he said, "Wait here in Jerusalem, I'll send the Holy Spirit, and then from Jerusalem you will tell the whole world about me. You will go from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria and to the ends of the earth," said Jesus. And so Jesus was sending Christians to the end of the earth. And not long after Spirit, the Christians were forced out of Jerusalem. And this was God's way of sending them to all the world to tell that the salvation of God is near. And so this bit here, verse 15, is not about who is able to preach, who's able to stand up here and do what I'm doing. But the point is that you can't share the gospel with someone unless you're there, unless you go to them in some way, shape or form. Now, obviously, we can share the gospel with people without physically being with them these days. But the point is still the same, that we must have the contact and the access and the relationship to be able to communicate the gospel with someone. And so what this means is that all Christians actually are sent to proclaim the gospel simply because God has placed us where we are. So this is an interesting thought, that you and I are missionaries where God has placed us, where he has sent us. He has sent you to Asquith, to Mount Kolar, to Mount Keringai, to Hornsby, to West Pimble, wherever. He has sent you as a missionary to proclaim the gospel to your neighbours, to your workmates, to your families, to your friends. All of us have been sent by God to speak the good news that salvation is near. But then the question might rise, you might ask, well, if we're already sent by God, if God's the one that does the sending and all of us are sent, well then, what have we got to do with it? Why should we, as a church, be talking about sending people if God's the one that does the sending? Well, why we should be worried about doing sending is because God has called us to join him in his work, hasn't he? He's chosen to use us, to use his church, to join him in doing the work of building his church. And so as we look around and we see that there are many people who don't know that salvation is near, we, like God, don't wish to see any perish, but we too wish that all would come to repentance, that all would call on God and be saved. And so if our goal is to see people saved, then we must send proclaimers. See, we must send people to preach to those who haven't heard, to those who haven't had someone come yet and speak the good news to them, so that they too will hear, will believe and call out to God and be saved. See, there are many more, aren't there? There are many, many people who haven't heard the message, who haven't had someone sent to them to tell them that salvation is near in Christ Jesus. And so we must join with God in sending messengers to those who do not know. So as a church, we want to be joining with what God is doing. We want to be sending people to the ends of the earth, sending people near and far to proclaim the good news of Jesus, that salvation is near, so that people will hear, will believe, call on God and be saved. Now, that means for some of us, God might send us to somewhere other than he sent us right now. Just because he sent us here now doesn't mean that's where we've got to be forever. God might choose to send us somewhere else. Maybe for you that might be another suburb, another state, another country perhaps. It might be that God is about to send you to a retirement home or a nursing village where your job there as a missionary is to proclaim the good news. Perhaps you'll go because you'll get a new job somewhere. Or perhaps you'll go because you go through college and go to CMS and say, I'd like to become a missionary, will you send me? Perhaps like the Bramleys and the Tongs, you might go to Auburn and join there in the work they're doing. For some of us, that will mean going to other places. But for all of us, what it means is that we need to have an attitude like Isaiah the prophet. When God spoke to Isaiah and said, who will I send to my people who have rebelled against me? Who will I send to proclaim the message of salvation? Isaiah said, who knows what he said? Send me. Here am I, Lord. Send me. We need to have a willing and obedient spirit, just like Isaiah did. To go to our families, our workplaces, our communities, and to share the gospel. But we also need to be training up others, looking for opportunities, looking for people and places where the gospel has not gone out. And we need to be equipping one another and sending one another out. Let us be a sending church, both near and far. Let us love the lost. Let us be the missionaries God has made us to those around us. Let us have willing and obedient attitudes. Let us equip one another. And let us finally pray that God will send out workers into the harvest. Let's together read our verses 14 and 15. There you go, Brian. And let's read it all out together, verses 14 and 15. Together. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you that salvation is not far off, that it's not something out of reach. We praise you that in your Son Jesus, salvation has come near. That we only need to believe that he has come to save us from our sin. That by his death he has paid the penalty. By his life, his resurrection, he has brought us to life. And that we only need to call on you and that you will save us. Father, we pray that you would give us hearts for the lost. That we would have love and compassion for those around us. We pray that we would be obedient and willing, just like Isaiah, to share the good news with those around us, in the families and the communities that you have sent us to. We pray that we would also be raising up others, equipping one another as we send each other out. We pray that here at St. John's we'll be a sending church, that we'll be sending not only scripture teachers into our schools and unis and people back into their homes and their families, but that also we'll continue to be sending people to Auburn, to Lightning Ridge, to the far ends of the earth. And we pray that many will hear, believe, call on the name of Jesus and be saved. Amen.
How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Are your feet beautiful or are they smelly from not doing what they should have been doing? I'm sure we'll all be encouraged to hear from a few of our members about opportunities they've had during the week to speak the word of Jesus. So after we sing our next song, I'm going to invite anyone that would like to come up and just share with us an opportunity that you had during the week. It might have gone well, it might not have gone so well, but the word was put out there as you went out, as you were sent out into the community. So I give you that notice before we sing our song. You might want to reflect on that, and I hope that a few of us can come and encourage all of us as we hear about opportunities that we've had to proclaim the great news of Jesus. Well, we're going to stand and sing a song which reminds us that our God is mighty to save. The gospel is powerful for salvation to all who believe. We stand to sing. This will be our offertory song. If you're new or visiting, please just let the bag pass you by.
Compassion, love that's never failing, then mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, kindness of a Savior. Find me, all my fears and failures, fill my life again, give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender.
That would like to come and just share an opportunity that they had during the week to speak of Jesus, or to answer a question that was raised, or anything really to do with getting that great message out. Thank you, sir. Sorry, your name's
Roger.
Welcome, Roger.
Those that haven't met me, my name's Roger. I live in Bangalore. I come down sometimes. Last time was October of last year, so I'll keep this fairly short.
Right, yeah.
And on the way back home, I called into my 85-year-old cousin in Coffs Harbour. I pulled out a bag and I was going through some stuff, and I happened to have in that bag, God works in mysterious ways, a copy of Todd Burpo's Heaven is for Real. Anyone read it? Interesting book. And I just put it aside while I was going through the rest, and my cousin said, "What's that?" And I said, "Oh, that's my brother's. He's lent it to me. Would you like to borrow it?" "Yeah, that'd be all right." So I left it there. Last week, called in on him on the way down. I said, "How'd you go with the book?" "Yeah, pretty good book," he said. I said, "You read it?" "Yeah, didn't take long." That opened the door. Here's a guy in his mid-80s, who has led what he calls a good life, but but has never accepted Christ as his Saviour. This was the opening. Thank you, Lord. Cousin, will you pray for me? I did. He accepted Christ. There's another one we've got for salvation. Thanks, Brian.
Thank you, Roger. Someone else. David.
As most of you know, I'm a member of the Hornsby Barara Men's Shed, and one of our members, he is very ill, and he was in hospital, and I hadn't been attending for nearly all this year, so I got into the habit of ringing up and just seeing how he was going. Anyway, he was so ill that he was not able to even walk to the car, and so it all come to the phone. So I spoke to his wife, and we got talking, and I said, oh, I've had some very good chats with John over the time about the gospel and about Christ. And she said, oh, yes, well, I've been to St. Mark's Barara a couple of times, but they're just a social mob up there. And I thought, oh, yeah, well, I said, it's very important that you think about eternal life and things like that. She said, oh, I don't believe in a life after death. After death, there is nothing. I said, oh, are you sure? And she said, yes, I don't think there is anything. And so I left her with a few thoughts about there is life after death, and that if you sort of die and get to whatever is after death, that is, you're standing before God, you might find that you're a bit surprised if you've never believed in it before and you've missed out on the opportunity. And then I believe that you'll go to a place that's not too pleasant. Anyway, she said, well, I'll think about those thoughts. Now, I rang again later on, but the phone just rang out. So I think either John has passed away or else he's embedded in hospital or a retirement village somewhere. So wasn't successful.
The word went out and the word was heard, so that's encouraging. We've got time for one more. We'll start Debbie and then we'll do Faye and we'll finish up there. Thanks.
Most of you know that I work at Naringa Hospital, a palliative care unit, and during the week I introduced myself to someone. I'm a pastoral care worker there, and she said hello, and the first thing she said to me was, do you believe in hell and damnation? And I said, yes, I do, but I also believe in a loving God who saved us by grace in sending his son. And we had an amazing conversation, and in all her life she'd never heard that actual message of God's grace. And she was happy for me to pray for her, and it was a really meaningful time for her to discover what God had done for her.
I would just like to share with you this morning something exciting that happened for Jim and me last week. Not this week, Brian, sorry. We had to get a new fence put in at our home, and the fellow who chose to do it said, I can knock that over in one day. So my immediate thought was, well, if he's going to be working so hard on that fence, I'm not going to have very much time to find a little time to talk to him about the Lord. So I kept praying, God, please help us find some time. So I thought, I know what I'll do. I'll make him a lovely egg salad sandwich. So he normally would look after his own food, but we invited him to enjoy lunch with us, and he did very much. But when Jim said grace, I noticed that he sort of felt a little bit embarrassed. So I said, Glenn, you will have noticed that Jim said grace. Does God mean anything to you? She said, oh, no, not really. She says, I was a Catholic when I was a boy, but I don't really believe all that stuff. And churches are only for getting money anyway. So I just let him have his little say. But then I kept on praying that God would give us more opportunity. And I think it was God's doing. He was a bit of a ditherer, and the job took about 3 days. So we were very happy about that, because that meant I could get in there and have a little chat with him now and then, you know. And it was really exciting on the last day that Jim and I both were able to give our testimonies to this young man who was really a needy young man that I won't go into details about. But he said, it's a funny thing that you talk to me about these things, because just lately I've been thinking I really ought to go back to church. Or find a church. So he wanted to come with us last Sunday. I was very disappointed when he didn't turn up. But we can keep praying for this boy called Glenn. And we were able to arm him with the Two Ways to Live booklet and a copy of our 90 stories, so he can see how God has worked in other people's lives.
It's wonderful to hear. I think the fact that Faye kept taking palings off at the end of each day had something to do with the fact that he was there for 3 days. I think I better just say too, in case you're wondering, St Mark's Barawa isn't just a social club. The gospel sounds forth from there as well. I'm sure there's lots of social things go on as well, like there is in our church. Well, great to hear all those stories of opportunities to proclaim the word, and indeed to hear of someone who accepted the Lord Jesus. So let me just pray. Our Father God, we do thank you for the opportunities that you give us in our daily lives. We thank you for the encouragement of those stories that we just heard, of your word going out. And we thank you for the promise that your word doesn't return to you void. We thank you for that person that accepted the Lord Jesus. And we pray for good follow-up, that they will grow strong in you. We pray for that man who's seriously ill. And we pray, Lord, that even in that dark moment, that there will be opportunity to hear and to respond. And we pray for his wife as well, that you will comfort her and that there will be further opportunities. And we pray for that young man who built the fence. We pray, Lord, that he will read the literature that Jim and Faye gave him, that as he reflects on his life, that he will seek out you. And we